In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as the Lenten season begins to draw to a close as we approach Holy Week, today we conclude our discussion of virtue that we have been considering over the past number of Wednesdays. And virtue, as we have said, is merely another way of thinking about the Christian life of sanctification. What happens after Christ has saved us and has granted to us his righteousness in that act that we call justification? What is next? How then shall we live? This is the process of sanctification, the process of becoming more and more like the image of Christ, living a life of holiness. And virtue is one way to think about that. And so we have discussed a number of the virtues on the half sheet handout that I have given you. The three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love are crucial and important for our Christian understanding of virtue, because these are gifts of God, and in many ways, they are the foundation then of our Christian life. Because our Christian life begins with faith. And as we have defined faith, faith is the substance of our Christian belief. Or, as we have also said, faith is trust in the promises of God. And such faith is what enables us to receive the good gifts of God and the justifying work of Christ on the cross. Such faith then gives meaning to our life and therefore direction to everything that we do. This faith is then closely tied to the virtue of hope. For if faith is trust in the promises of God, then hope is looking forward to the fulfillment of those promises. And so hope becomes important as we live in this veil of tears, in this life of suffering, because it gives us something to look forward to. Finally, love, or charity as it can be translated, is the giving of self. We love, as the Apostle John says, because Christ first loved us. And so his self-giving love not only grants to us eternal life and salvation, but then it becomes a model for us as to how we are to love one another in the same way that he has loved us, as we will see next week on Thursday. And so it is that love, this virtue, teaches us to orient our lives outward toward other people. But the sinful nature inherently causes us to be inwardly focused. But the life of love teaches us to look outward and to give of ourselves for the benefit of others. These three theological virtues, as we have said, are pure gifts of God, but there are four cardinal virtues that we have also discussed, and these four cardinal virtues are important, but they are not pure gifts of God. They are things that we must work at. They are things that we must cultivate by our own efforts. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in our lives to cultivate these virtues of temperance, justice, fortitude, and prudence. Temperance, as we said a number of weeks ago, is the foundation of virtue. Temperance is all about controlling pleasure, choosing good between two extremes. And the corresponding discipline for this virtue then is the discipline of fasting, whereby we abstain from good things for a time in order to teach ourselves to be temperate. Justice is the next of the cardinal virtues. And justice, in a lot of ways, is similar to love in that it invites us to orient our life away from self and to render that which is due to another person. This virtue of justice then has a corresponding discipline of almsgiving, which is not just about giving away money, but it is about sacrificially giving of yourself, whether that be your money or whether it be time or talents or possessions or whatever the case may be. Almsgiving as a discipline teaches us to not cling to the things of this world as of chief importance, but rather to look to the needs of others. Fortitude, which we discussed last week, is all about doing the right thing in the face of fear. We could almost substitute the word courage as a synonym. And fortitude is achieved in the Christian life through learning to suffer well. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered for us, as we will reflect much more fully on this coming week. And as our Lord says to his disciples, that the teacher will become kind of, if you will, the example for his disciples. A disciple is not greater than the teacher. If they persecute Christ, they will persecute us. If he suffers, then we must suffer as well. So finally, we come to the last of the cardinal virtues, the virtue of prudence. And prudence, as we have defined it on your half sheet, is a practical wisdom that acts. And this virtue then corresponds to its discipline of prayer, of which we will consider a little bit more in a few minutes. But prudence is the last and it is the supreme cardinal virtue. In other words, prudence cannot be achieved by itself. Prudence teaches us to have a kind of wisdom that recognizes that there is more to this life than what we can see. Of course, this is true in a Christian sense, that godly wisdom helps us to recognize the gifts of God, the spiritual aspects of life, and more importantly, the promise of the life to come. But even in a more worldly sense, the virtue of prudence helps us to recognize the consequences of actions and the other things that may come about, the other possibilities that we cannot necessarily see in the moment. Prudence is not hasty, it's not negligent, it's not thoughtless. Prudence is measured, it is deliberate. It's meek and humble. Prudence, by its very nature, seeks out and welcomes counsel from others. In short, prudence is a life of wisdom. Now, of course, it has been said that gray hair is a sign of wisdom, and there is a lot of truth to that. For as we go through life, as we gain experience, as we make mistakes, we learn. We grow in wisdom. That is part of prudence and part of becoming wise. But this wisdom, this prudence, is the chief of the cardinal virtues in that it is built upon all of the other virtues. One cannot be prudent, one cannot be wise without being temperate. One cannot be prudent and wise without learning to orient one's life away from the self. One cannot be truly wise and prudent without courage and learning to cling to the truth even in the face of suffering. And so the virtue of prudence builds on all other virtues. But if we get even more basic with this understanding of prudence, for the Christian, prudence is a life characterized by the fear of the Lord. For as King Solomon teaches us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This then is where the discipline of prayer relates to this virtue of prudence. For at its core, prudence must be oriented toward and receive from God. Now, our Synodical Catechism, the current 2017 edition, and I believe earlier editions had very similar wording to this. Our current Synodical Catechism explanation defines prayer in this way, that prayer is speaking to God in words and thoughts. We might say this a little bit more simply and directly, that prayer is communication with God. Just like any other relationship that we might have, communication is at the core of our relationship with the Lord. And so the Christian life of prayer must be a life in which we talk to God. If we are not talking to Him and communicating with Him, then we cannot have a relationship with Him. But as you know from your earthly relationships, communication must go two ways. And so the Christian life of prayer must be more than talking to God. Never less, but it must be more than just talking to God. It must also involve listening to Him. And so prayer must involve talking and listening. And in fact, that is probably, definitely, the wrong order for those things. The life of prayer must first begin by hearing God, and then, in turn, responding to Him. If you think about this, this is the way that language works. This is the way that we learn to speak and talk as human beings. We learn to talk not by reading a textbook, but by listening to our parents and mimicking them. How much more in prayer and communication with our Heavenly Father must we listen to Him and learn from His Word how to speak to Him? And this must be a discipline. Maybe it needs to be something that we schedule in our calendars. For if we just go with the flow and allow anyone and everyone to speak into our lives, then we will be formed by the voices of the world. They will shape how we think and how we speak. And so if we desire to be men and women of virtue, if we desire to be prudent and wise, we must develop the discipline of prayer. To hear God, and in turn, then to learn how to respond to Him. Note as we conclude these important verses from today's gospel text, where our Lord Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The discipline of prayer must involve hearing the shepherd's voice. The virtue of prudence must involve hearing our Lord's voice. And indeed, these great and precious promises that our Lord grants and offers here, that no one will be able to snatch you out of His hand, for the Father is greater than anyone who would seek to take away your faith. Those great and precious promises come to you by hearing the voice of Christ. And so, dear friends in Christ, you cannot make yourself wise or prudent with a snap of a finger or with a single decision or choice. But what you can do is make the choice daily and regularly to listen to Christ's word. And in so doing, you will be blessed and you will be shaped and molded more and more into the image of Christ and gain this godly wisdom. May our Lord bless you through His word, so that you might grow in holiness and virtue, and so be conformed to the image of his Son. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.